Good morning. Hope you had a good Independence Day yesterday and maybe even got to see some fireworks. Those are fun. They're pretty. I enjoy it. I'm a little cheap. I won't actually buy any, but those are more for the kids in my mind anyways. They love to ooh and ah over them if they're not too loud. And you think about the fireworks situation, you know, it's lots of fun, but you ever notice that you know, it was great at the time. You have good memories of it. Talk about it for, you know, a few days maybe. But then, well, what are we going to do next year? Next year's got to be better. Next year's got to be bigger. It's going to take more. And, you know, it's kind of an illustration of a lot of things in this life down here. Is that it appeals to the eyes. It's fun. And it's short. It didn't last very long. The individual firework pops and ooh, and then it's over. And it's going to take more and something else to kind of get that back, but it doesn't keep going. And, you know, I even know some people, they drive around so they can catch as many firework shows as they can, not even getting out of their car, which this time of year is a good thing to do. But it still, it doesn't last. And the writer of Hebrews wants to challenge us. God wants to challenge us. Are you going to live for those things in this life that are so fleeting and they don't last and it takes more and just leaves you dissatisfied? Or are you going to live for the things that are lasting, that are eternal? Because the challenge is those things are not visible. And so I want you to, as we read through Hebrews chapter 11, as we read through chapter 11 of Hebrews, I want you to be thinking about the places that he mentions not seen, not visible, and just be thinking about and pull out that thought along the way and see how it tracks through there. So Hebrews chapter 11, we're going to start in verse 1, and we're going to work our way down through verse 7. So verse 1 through verse 7 of Hebrews chapter 11. And Hebrews is in the New Testament, so that's where we are there. Now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. For by it the elders obtained a good testimony. By faith we understand that the worlds were framed by the word of God, so that the things which are seen were not made of things which are visible. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. For before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. By faith Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. Let's pause for prayer for a minute. Father, just so thankful you give us your word. Because we need your word to be a lamp and a light. Because here in the darkness of this here below, we get easily distracted. We get easily drawn away from your path. And so we need your word and your spirit, Lord, to orient and guide us to things that are substantial, to things that are eternal. Guide my words and my thoughts. Open our hearts to your word. And in the name of Jesus, the word made flesh, we pray. Amen. And so I want you to think about this here. We've got places where it says not seen, visible. And then there's places where it talks about seeking and not found. And what are you looking for? That's what we're looking at today is the eyes. Now, the writer of Hebrews is going to talk about this a lot in Hebrews chapter 11. We're going to see how it applies to Abraham and Moses and others as well, and maybe even reference them today. But he starts out by saying, faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. And I think you can understand there where it's a tricky verse in the original Greek there for us to wrap our brains around. And so, what is that talking about? The faith, things hoped for? It's the foundation. Faith is the foundation of the things that we're hoping for. Because you're not going to hope for something that you don't believe is real. And what we don't believe, we don't practice. But what we practice, those are the things we really are believing in. And the things not seen, the evidence of things not seen, the conviction of those things that are not seen, that we are convinced of them. Because we live in a world where we don't really trust the things we don't see. It's not just Missourians who have to be shown. It's everybody, especially in America right now. Those that have had the experience have a different viewpoint than those who don't have the experience, but all they have is an opinion. You know, there's a statement about arguments that the person with experience always outmatches the person with only opinions. And the person with opinions doesn't always know that. But here's the truth. Let's look at God's word here and see what he says about these things that are seen and not seen. And he says there, one, is that faith is going to be involved. And as you move along, that's how the elders received a good testimony. In verse 3, it says that the worlds that we see haven't always been, but they were made by things that were not seen. Did you notice that? That's kind of an odd way of saying that. You know, John, he doesn't say it that way. He just says that the Word made flesh and the Word made all things. You know, the writer in Colossians, the Apostle Paul, he just talked about how that by Christ, all things were made by him, through him, and for him. And he holds all things together. Moses, in the beginning, God created. But here, the writer of Hebrews wants us to think about that the things that are seen are inherently not permanent. They are derived. They are not ultimate self-existent reality, but something else predates, creates, and perpetuates the material world. And that material world depends on the things that are invisible. It is God. It is God. And it's not the only place where he says that. Think about verse 27 of this chapter. By faith, Moses forsook Egypt, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured as seeing him who is invisible. God is the most real thing and gives reality from himself to everything else, but it's only by him. And they're temporary, he says. So he says, don't live for what is seen. Build your life by faith on the things that are eternal. This here is inherently temporary. And immediately they're challenged to live not for the things that are seen, but the things that are eternal. Look at verse 4. By faith, Abel offered to God a more excellent sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained witness that he was righteous, God testifying of his gifts, and through it he, being dead, still speaks. Abel, through faith, even though he's gone, still speaks. You can't see Abel. He's gone. He was killed by his brother, yet still speaks of the righteousness by God, from God, the testimony of God, that he was righteous. It was shown by that sacrifice that he made. So faith is necessary to perceive our proper and real hope. And that's what Abel was living for, to know the Creator's reality and to offer acceptable worship. Because we live according to what we choose to think is real, what is reality. We don't live based on facts. We live based on our interpretation of the facts. And we see that more and more in our culture. But we build our life on eternal, then it's going to take us considering those things that are eternal. And to do so is going to take sacrifice. I'm kind of extrapolating here from this verse 4 about Abel. But it is going to take sacrifice to build your life on what is eternal. You're going to have to let go of some things in order to have the things that are eternal. But the thing is we will sacrifice for what we want. We'll put ourselves in crazy debt, or we'll save up our pennies in a mason jar, or whatever it is. We'll sacrifice for the things that we want. And those things that we want most, those are the kind of the things we worship. Because we put them in a place, that's what we want. You know, see the difference? Objects of adoration. And so we're being told here, through Abel, make that something eternal. Make that God. God is the one that's going to be lasting and worthwhile. It's going to take sacrifice, but it's going to be worth it. And Enoch helps us understand that. Notice Enoch, verses 5 and 6. By faith, Enoch was taken away so that he did not see death, and was not found because God had taken him. Again, don't have the exact word see, but did you notice that? He did not see death. Some of your translations may say experience death, because it's a slightly different word there. But it is, he didn't see death. He's the guy that didn't die, if you haven't gathered that yet. Because God took him, rapture practice. And for before he was taken, he had this testimony that he pleased God. But without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he who comes to God must believe that he is, and he is a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Enoch was sought, but was not found, because Enoch had sought for God and found God to be a rewarder of those who diligently seek him. Did you catch that tension there? Isn't that cool? He went seeking the invisible God, believing the invisible God exists, and was found by God and taken by God. Rewarded. And others went seeking for Enoch, but they never found him, because he was with God. God is a rewarder of those who diligently seek the invisible God. You think about, here a little later, we're going to be talking about Abraham and Sarah next week. And they walked through the promised land, not seeking the glory of that promised land in their day. They were living for the eternal glory, the eternal glory of God as they walked through this world below. We are natural seekers. We're natural explorers, even more so in our own country. It is in our culture to be adventurous seekers and explorers, to boldly go where no man has gone before. But what are we seeking? Are we going to seek? Again, that can fall into that category of chasing fireworks, where we just always looking for that next little thrill, but it doesn't last. Or are we going to seek for God, who is a rewarder of those who seek for him? Don't seek for the lust of the eyes, what is seen. John warned us about the lust of the eyes, the lust of the flesh, and the pride of life. He says, those things are of the world, those things are of sin. Seek for more of God, Enoch tells us, to walk daily with him who is not seen. Preacher, how do I walk with something that I cannot see? By the Spirit. by faith. When we put our trust in Christ, He gives us His Holy Spirit, and we walk by faith in His Spirit. Walk in the Spirit, and you not fulfill the lust of the flesh, lust of the eyes. To spend time listening to Him in His Word, and in the quiet, and in prayer, without ceasing in that. Now, just a little thing I put off on in the morning or before I go to bed, although those are two ideal times to do that. Should do both, but all through the day, seeking after Him. Abel tells us it's going to take sacrifice, but it's worth it. Enoch tells us it's worth it because God is a rewarder of those who seek Him. And lastly, we see Noah. And Noah had tangible reason to understand, oh, it's really worth it to follow God. Noah was warned of things that had never been seen, and he believed. Notice this. By faith, Noah, being divinely warned of things not yet seen, moved with godly fear, prepared an ark for the saving of his household, by which he condemned the world and became heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. So did you see that? He had to live not just seeking the invisible God, but God, who is invisible, warned him of things that were not yet to be seen, but by the time you see them, it's too late. Prepare now before it is seen. And we hear it said that Noah took God at His word, the invisible God, at His word, to believe in something he had never seen before taking place. And it changed his physical world as he believed that, because he prepared. Noah, our first prepper, and we're going to talk more about preppers here in a minute, but he believed and acted according to his faith. Because here's something that really wanted to kind of think about here. Faith is not intellectual. But as you can see in these, faith is volitional. Faith is something that involves the will. It's not just up here. It is the whole will involved in this. And when it is, it makes things change. We live differently. Just like hope isn't a wishful anticipation for something that might happen. Hope is the confident expectation this will happen because God promised it. And you've heard this one before as well. Love is not a warm feeling, but love is a choice of action. To love God and to love others, it's not just a feeling, it is an action. And we see all those woven together here in Noah as he prepared out of love for God, love for his family and fellow man, and love, and not just love, but hope that this is the way to be prepared for what is coming, that I don't even know what it is entirely yet because I've never seen anything like it. And by faith, even if it didn't make sense, he acted upon it. He chose to believe. We act upon what we truly believe. You act on what you believe, meaning your behavior and attitudes are a reflection of what you think is true. The only parts of the Bible you truly believe are the parts you put into practice. That's what Noah is telling us. Which, if what you say you believe doesn't change how you live your life, then you probably don't really believe it. Sobering words. They're borrowed from Rick Warren. But hope is a faith projected into the future. It is what prompted Noah to save his family as he built the ark, this big boat, in the middle of dry land. Because God had said it was going to rain, and rain a lot, and it was going to flood. He prepared for an unseen judgment to come. He prepared while the world was preoccupied with what they could see, with what was material, with what was in the present. They didn't prepare for the future. But here's the thing, when the day of the Lord came for them, and faith became sight for Noah, for everyone else, it was too late. When the future becomes present, it's too late to be prepared, to prepare yourself. It's an uncertain future we have on the earth. That's why there's preppers. Now, we experienced that a few months back when all the toilet paper disappeared and other odd items. They were prepping. They're probably still using that toilet paper. But who knows? It was really broke down the world into just three groups. There were the people who were prepping. There were the people who were laughing about the people who were prepping. And then there were the people who were hoping they were good friends with a prepper. But it is apparent in that circumstance that in the uncertain future we face in this world, we can go overboard and not be prepared for what is really coming. It's an uncertain future down here, but there is a certain future forewarned by God coming ahead. And we are being told we can be prepared if we do like Abel and sacrifice for what is eternal. Sacrifice the material for what is eternal. If we can be like Enoch and to seek after God, who is a rewarder of those who diligently seek Him. And when others went to look for Him, He couldn't be found because He had sought for God and was found with God. And like Noah, who prepared for his family and anyone who would believe a way of escape from the judgment to come that was coming, whether they could see it or not. But he prepared by faith in Christ, because Christ is the one who has prepared the way for us to escape the judgment to come, to give us something that is eternal and lasting. Through the cross and the resurrection, and has ascended into heaven, even now, sitting at the right hand of the throne of God, we have a sure anchor for our faith, because we're promised He's coming again. And He's going to make all things right. But since we're part of the problem of what is wrong, you better be in Christ, or it's going to be the day of wrath. And too late if you're not prepared in Christ. Well, that got heavy real quick, didn't it? But I think you can understand that this is the significance of what we're talking about. It is Abel, Enoch, and Noah telling us, don't live for fireworks. It's not worth it. Live for what is eternal. Be prepared by knowing the one who is invisible, but who knows and sees it all because He created it. I pray that you respond as the Holy Spirit is prompting today as you've listened to this. Praying for you, praying for our friends out there. You may live in a quiet part of the world, nothing going on. You may live in a very tumultuous part of the world and feel a lot of that anxiety. Let us keep our hope in Christ. Let's pray one last time. Father, so thankful. Thankful for Christ. Thankful that He has made an ark for us to run to refuge into Him, into His cross, the wooden cross, and to find there a sacrifice that has made us right with You. to give us that righteousness of Abel and Enoch and Noah. And Lord, by faith, because we could do nothing to earn it. And I thank you, Lord, for your Holy Spirit, who helps us even in those times of our doubt. Help us to continue to seek after you. Help us to respond rightly as your Spirit leads. In the name and for the kingdom of Jesus Christ, may he have the preeminence in this crazy world. And may we share that hope with others. That you would be glorified more and more. Bring revival to our nation, to our homes, and to our world. Use us, O Lord. We love you. We hope it shows. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen. God bless you. Thank you for joining me. I enjoy it.